And then you.
Are we live?
For the good looks.
So good. Are we live?
Yeah, you're live.
Oh. Thanks, guys. I didn't know. Okay, guys, we're going to get started. No, we're having way too much fun. I just want to know what the Cobb family drinks before they come up here.
That's all.
You drink the Kool-Aid. Okay, guys, here we go. May Hashem's loving kindness be extended to us great illumination and wisdom and understanding this parsha, Pinchas. What a great parsha. And may we be challenged by the character and integrity of such a great, zealous, righteous tzaddik. Amen. This parsha is drawn, some of its commentary, from Rabbi Yehoshua Rabinowitz, and it's called Pinchas. I titled it on the live stream by saying, would the real Pinchas please stand? And there's a reason why that we name it this way, and I'll explain to you. The identification of Pinchas with Elijah by means of a known agadic statement that Pinchas is Elijah. I mean, how many heard that term before, right? Is an attempt by some of the sages to describe the mysterious figure of the prophet himself. Not only does Elisha appear and disappear for those who are worthy, also like Pinchas, like traits and behavior are just as enigmatic to mysteries maintained for everyone that is solved. We shall try to obtain the glimpse of the character of Pinchas through several midrashim of the sages. Some of the homilies cited in the verse of the prophets are actually from Ketuvim, which would be like the writings and the prophets. You're going to find out in a moment. The writings and the prophets in the Tanakh are like oral Torah for the first five books. Did you know that? And you'll find there are psalms and proverbs that are dedicated, and all the greatest minds in Judaism know this psalm, this proverb is actually about this situation. It's either about David HaMelech, or if it's about Pinchas, or it's about the time that Moshe struck the rock, and it provides oral understanding of what took place. So this further cements the idea that the Torah is a book that is very thorough. Even though we read it on the surface and it just tells a story that this guy Pinchas shows up out of nowhere and runs a spear through Zimri and Cosby. It's about all you hear in the story, and it saves the rest of Israel from being destroyed. And now we shall try to obtain a glimpse of the character Pinchas through this, and it's actually called a hagiographa, which is all the writings of the Psalms and the prophets, wisdom writings of the prophets, and then uses the phrase, this is Pinchas, to identify Pinchas with the personality and character trait which emerged from that verse, sometimes in comparison to other figures and sometimes on its own. The following homily weaves together several passages from Proverbs using midrashic models of exegesis, bringing testimony to his character from the mouth of God himself. So this next segment that I'm going to read verbatim are quotes from Psalms and Proverbs that paint a picture about Pinchas that we really don't know. There are things that we don't know. And to me, this is the most beautiful thing about how the Tanakh is written. It's written in such a way that it weaves a tapestry together that sometimes it's hard to see it until you step back and look at the whole tapestry. I don't know how many have been to Europe to see these large tapestries that have been made that date back 1,500 years or so, and they hang on the wall, and you literally can walk five steps this way and the whole tapestry change just because the way they've woven the cloth. It's an incredible thing. Well, today we're going to do the same thing. And what we're going to do is use the work of Rabbi Yehoshua Rabinowitz and his coursing through and building up a picture from the writings that talk about Pinchas. The repute of Pinchas was greater than wealth of Zimri. Who was the head of the tribe of Simeon? What did Zimri do? It is of him that Solomon said, "The wicked man is brazen-faced, and Pinchas, that he said, the upright man discerns his course." Proverbs 21:29. If you want to go back and look at these references, you'll also be able to find a little bit more depth to what this text is describing. Next, it says, "In what way was Zimri brazen?" Moses said to him, Proverbs 21:30, "No wisdom, no prudence, and no counsel can prevail against the Lord." The only one blessed, the Holy One, blessed be He, responded, "I know who's prepared to take action in this manner." For what is the very next verse in Proverbs 21:31? It says, "The horse is ready for the day of battle, but victory comes from Hashem." Rabbi Yossi says, "Pinchas himself understood his darashic and applied it to himself. If a horse risks his life for the day of battle, even though he may die, nevertheless, he is ready to give his life for his master. How should I behave? But what shall I do?" This is what Pinchas is saying to himself. It says, "For two can overcome one, but one can overcome two." While he was reasoning with himself, the plague began to rage, and the Holy One, blessed be, said in Proverbs 24:10-12, this is what Hashem says by looking at Proverbs, "You showed yourself slack in the time of trouble. You refrained from rescuing those taken off of to death. If you say, 'We know nothing of it,' the Almighty testify about you, Pinchas, that you are equal in the task." And it is said in Proverbs 24:12, "When surely he who fathoms hearts will discern the truth." When Pinchas saw the plague, he stood and prayed, as it is said in Psalm 106:30. Pinchas stepped forth and intervened immediately. The Holy One, blessed be He, called to Moshe and said to him, "Come here, I shall disclose to you who saved the seed of Abraham." And it is said, found in Numbers 25:11, "Pinchas, son of Eleazar," hence it is said in Proverbs 22:1, "Repute is preferable than great wealth." This midrash contrasts the figure of Pinchas with two other major figures in the story, Zimri and Moshe. Rabbi Yossi and his colleagues viewed Scripture as being brief in certain places, such as the story of parasha, and providing a greater wealth of insight in other places. For example, in the prophets and the writings, they are like the oral Torah, and in that they shed light on the obscure passages of the five books of Moses. The sages undertook the task of explaining verses from the Scripture, shedding light on the personalities and events from the distant past, from the birth of the Jewish nation in the wilderness, using phrases such as, "Solomon was referring to him. Moshe said, 'The Holy One, blessed be He, knew,' and even Pinchas himself understood," which means that Pinchas was thinking. The rabbis were able to enlarge upon the story and explain the background of God's statement in our chapter. What the Lord informed Moses through words, "Pinchas, son of Eleazar, has turned back my wrath from the Israelites." What does it mean? Is that there is a coded system in the Tanakh and the Torah that gives what he called, not to secret words, but phraseology that the great sages of blessed memory, when they read, say, "This is a key word." So when it said, what was your joke? You said Moshe's last name was Lamor.
Moshe Lamor.
Moshe Lamor, which it's a joke, means Moshe.
So, say.
Say. So Moshe said that phrase, it said over and over. But there's something more to the phrase itself. And that's where the sages of blessed memory come up with more detail about incidences that take place in the Torah. The next midrash is an exegetical midrash, which means a critical interpretation of the midrash. The Torah itself, rather than constructing a homily around a particular idea, as did in the previous midrashim, which is therefore of a sort of a homiletical type, which means that you just sort of take one step after another in what you read and build out a story. It looks into several verses in Numbers that are more enigmatic than explicit, meaning that when you read the text, it kind of can leave some vague situations. But the sages of blessed memory were able to take these texts and compare them to Psalm and Proverbs and the writings, and be able to tie together some continuity to help us to understand who the real Pinchas is. Who is this guy? When Pinchas, son of Eleazar, saw this, according to Numbers 25, verse 7, did not everyone see it? Why did he just point out, said, when he saw it? Everyone saw it. In the sight of Moses, it says in Numbers 25, 26, for it is written, in the sight of Moses and of the whole Israelite community. Wait, just a second. Everybody saw this. Rather, he saw what had been done. He called to mind a rule of halakha. So the issue was this. Everyone saw the action, but very few people were pointing out what the violation of halakha was. They're sort of beating around the bush. And why do we see that Moshe sort of delayed? What was the reason we talked about last class about Moshe's delay? Do we remember why, what the sages said? It didn't register with him. That's number one. Number two is that he also had married a wife in this very same situation and thought, it's a little touchy because if I somehow bring down the halakha of this, it may look like I'm being biased against him and ignoring my own situation. It says, go ahead. Zimri, yeah. He who has relationships with an Aramean woman, zealots strike at him. He left the assembly, verse 7. How so? Rather, they were discussing the issue whether or not he should be put to death. When Pinchas left the assembly, volunteering himself, took a spear in hand, and zealously defended the Lord's name. And he brought 12 miracles for him. Now the question is this. If you read the story just on its face, its value, face value, it seems like a really serious zealot and kind of is a little uncomfortable for us all, correct? How many were a little uncomfortable when you first read this years ago? It was just kind of like, whoa, strange. A guy like that would go to jail today. He'll go to prison, get the death sentence. But let's step back and look at this tapestry from a distance. Let's say that you and only you see the solution to saving millions of people, and already 24,000 people have died in your community. Would you be willing to take action? Or would you be afraid of what people think about you? Because the whole point is this. Pinchas was much more concerned about the name of Hashem than he did his own character. You understand the difference? As a matter of fact, he was even willing to have the retribution of the people come upon himself. It was immaterial. While he's listening to them discuss all the details of what should and shouldn't be done, he does it anyway. Now, there's a particular challenge to those of us in the B'nai Noach world, and I would now also say the Orthodox Jewish world. And that is, we're looking at all the problems that are around us when it comes to redemption and bringing people from the nations to the knowledge of the Torah. And all the difficulties surrounding what should we do and how do we do this? And do we bring them into the synagogue? We don't bring them in the synagogue. You have their own thing. They do their, is it another religion? Is it not another religion? And we, as this community, Nativ, says, you can argue all you want, but we're going to serve Hashem. Do you understand the difference? You guys can argue it out, figure out, but we know beyond a shadow of a doubt that the people of the nations have been invited to know Hashem and to love Torah. And the reason why that we've stepped up and decided to do this as a community and decide to spread this all over the world is somebody has to take the responsibility. If everybody is waiting for somebody to do something, it'll never get done. The real mark of leadership is you get off your tuchus and you make it happen, whether you think you're qualified to do it or not. So here he sat and listened to him talking back and forth. When Pinchas saw that he, that is Hashem, the Lord, wished to wipe out, he beat them, or he ran a spear through Zimri and Cosby. said he stood and prayed and put an end to the plague. And now listen to what Psalm 106 verse 30 says. Pinchas stepped forth and intervened, carrying out the law, as it is said in Exodus 21:22, the payment being as the judge determines. As it says in Proverbs 16:14, the king's wrath is a messenger of death, but a wise man can appease it. It is like a king who has passed a group of youngsters, and one of the youngsters says a derogatory term to the king. And the king, in his sense of retribution, could bring punishment upon everybody. And instead, some other young man, part of that group, exacts punishment on the man who uses foul language against the king. Therefore, the king basically averted his look and went on down the road. The sages tell us that Pinchas saw a certain act and immediately recalled the halakha. Who taught Pinchas the halakha? Moshe. I don't believe in a second Moshe didn't remember the halakha. Come on. Do you think the man who knows ins and outs of the Torah, I do believe, honestly, he was being paused by his compassion and mercy on the situation and not wanting to make a step that is too speedy because we all know that the difference between Aaron and Moshe was what? What was the major difference between the two?
Aaron
had humility and Aaron had kindness. Where Aaron also had mercy and chesed, Moshe was a by-the-book guy.
He was the judge.
He was the judge. He didn't play around. You mean to tell me he didn't know the halakha? No, what he was doing is pausing because, okay, hold on a second. I'm married to a woman and this is the same thing that's going to come out if I don't. It did anyway, right? The people sort of accused him of bringing judgment upon Pinchas, but somebody had to do it. It says, the Israelites as well were discussing the issue and procrastinating, but Pinchas, one who lived with them, came forward and volunteered and zealously stood up for the name. He stepped up forth and intervened. So we read in the Midrash, it says, as the scripture says, who put Pinchas, who but Pinchas caused the Holy One, blessed be He, to fulfilling what is said, but a wise man can appease it. Now the Song of Songs in Rabbah identifies a verse from the Song of Psalms. It's beautiful. Song 4:9. It says, "You have captured my heart, my sister, my bride, which Pinchas, the Holy One, blessed be He, said, you had one heart at Shittim, but you gave me two hearts. You have captured my heart with one glance of your eyes," referring to Pinchas, as is said in Psalm 106, verse 30. It says, Pinchas stepped forth and intervened. It was reckoned to his merit. Presumably, the Midrash means that Pinchas was one of the eyes of the community, a leader as the rabbis taught. The merciful one desires the heart or the devout sincerity of a person, which is what Pinchas gave. In no way do I believe Pinchas' action is an indictment on Moshe and the rest of the group. Okay, in no way am I saying that. But what I'm saying is at this moment when everybody was zigging, he decided to go straight to the process, right? And, I, we all know that Rabbi Moshe Chaim Luzzatto in the Path of the Just says that an individual can have zeal without wisdom and knowledge and make some huge mistakes. He likened it to a person's house catching on fire and they run out with like six pairs of socks and a pair of underwear, right? Not very important compared to your children in their bed. It's like you have to have, I mean, zeal's great, but you all have to think about the bigger picture. An alternate interpretation Ecclesiastes Rabbah also says in several alternatives, which it presents in understanding the verses in Ecclesiastes, does not overlook Pinchas. In Ecclesiastes 7:26, it says, "He who is pleased to God escapes her." Now, that is normally referring to who's the person who escaped a woman?
Joseph.
Very good. You get 10 points. And it refers generally to Joseph. And then it says, and he who is displeasing is caught by her, which refers to Potiphar, right? An alternative interpretation is that he who is pleased refers to Pinchas, and he who is displeased refers to Zimri. The Midrash cited here is one of many contrast figures from the Bible by drawing parallels between diametrically opposites in the Scripture. Sometimes in the biblical text does not provide an explicit opposition, but the overall scriptural context implies that one and the sages only formulated concretely. This is illustrated by the following Midrash. Here we go. These are the cases of people who commit adultery and are rewarded, while others commit adultery and lose. Some steal and win, while others stand and lose. For example, someone who stole and won was Pinchas, who stole and lost Achan. Someone who committed adultery and lost, Zimri. Who committed adultery and won? Judah. Once again, we have this yin and the yang and the front and the back and whatever else you want to call it. The issue is, for example, from whom issued Perez and Hezron, who were destined to be the ancestors of David, Amalek, and the Mashiach. The following Midrash consists entirely of identification of biblical figures. It takes a certain text and word-by-word identification, the patriarchs, some of the tribes, and their offspring. Other interpretation. For example, it comes from Psalm 15, 2 through 3. He who lives without blame is Abraham. It's talking about Abraham. He has never borne reproach of his neighbor is Pinchas. Who is from the tribe of Levi? Zimri, who was from the tribe of Shimon, was immediately killed because of what he had done, so there would not be reproach against Israel. So we're going to conclude on this Midrash. Bless the Lord who, his angels, Psalm 103:20. For the prophets are called angels. Did you know that? So prophets are called angels. What is a messenger?
Angel.
Right. So what are angels? What's a messenger in Hebrew?
Malach.
So in essence, prophets are considered angels. Now follow what it's concluding in this Midrash. Rabbi says, it says, likewise, it says, like the angel, Zechariah 4 or 5. Rabbi Yehuda Bar Shimon said, an angel of the Lord came up from Gilgal in Judges 2, 1. It is referring, it's a reference to Pinchas. The rabbis added from the verse, he looked like an angry angel of God, very frightening. Judges 13, 6. We learned that the prophets were called angels. We begin in this lecture today with the identification of Pinchas. The upright man discerns his course. God made men plain and upright, but they have engaged in too much reasoning. Ecclesiastes 7:29. Pinchas remained upright from the beginning to the end. Although he began by reasoning and rationalizing to himself, he quickly reached the conclusion that a swift response is required to uphold the sanctity of God's name. In order to save the people of Israel, one must not make lengthy preparations. Rather, one must intervene at once. Pinchas, remembering the teaching, acted zealously and stepped forth voluntarily. Then many miracles were wrought and he was saved. He served as the eye of the community, as the pleasing one who stole and won, who never bore reproach for his neighbor without favoring those close to him. He is the angel of the Lord who came up from Gilgal. And it is his revelation that we await for today. For Pinchas is Elijah. May he not only sit under the tree of life, chronicling the merits of Israel, but may he realize them speedily together with the coming of Mashiach. Amen. So the idea of Pinchas being Elijah, and the idea that Pinchas showed us a great example of one who doesn't hesitate. How can we apply this in the 21st century for the righteous non-Jew? Very easily. When you see something that needs to be done according to your avodah Hashem, your service to Hashem, then do it. Don't wait and contemplate it. Don't over-realize it or over, what do you call it, rationalize the whole situation. Just do it. You know you're supposed to do it. Just do it. No other explanation, for we all know that merit, that mitzvot are done for the sake of heaven. It is because God says, do these things, we do them. That's it. We don't need to debate them. There are some things we don't understand. But even our lack of understanding, should that keep us from doing something? No. Get understanding. May Hashem grant you loving kindness. May you go from strength to strength. And we shall now continue with the big discussion.